to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
What's going on, guys? It is Chris again here for another NXT review. It is February 12th. Interesting day today. A lot of setup for TakeOver Portland. Average show. At best, I would say it was an average show. But it is the week. It is the go-home episode. And unlike Raw and SmackDown, I feel like they don't have to really try to sell their product right at the end. I feel like people know what to expect with NXT. It's relatively consistent for what it is. So, it was exactly what it meant to be. It wasn't a lot advertised for the show. I think there was one match advertised as of last week, whereas for next week, they have three, including a title match. So very excited about that. Big pay-per-view this weekend. Match is set up for next week, so we're looking good. Just want to let you guys know you can follow me on Twitter at TheCO, place to go. Great place to let me know what you want to talk about. Any questions, comments, good, bad, I don't care. Talk to me, please. We're going to start this week. We got a lot of random wrestling talk, and some of it I mentioned last week, and we'll get to that in a minute. But we're going to start with this week in wrestling on Raw. Two things I took off of Raw this week. Matt Hardy, potentially written off. I know all of his like cryptic messages and posts and Twitters and videos on YouTube and all, you know, all that. I said Twitters, tweets on Twitter, all that different stuff. You know, Matt Hardy, brilliant mind. Absolutely brilliant mind. But when I think if his brother was still around, I thought maybe they were heading to the point to where they might have, you know, Broken Matt and Brother Nero. That, to me, I thought that was quite a possibility. And then you have, you know, Jeff getting hurt. Standard Jeff Hardy, in reality, since he left WWE, what are we talking about? You know, how many years ago now? 8, 9 years ago, whenever he left, went to TNA. He's just been, you know, very injury-prone since. And then obviously issues with substance abuse. I believe he was arrested for public intoxication or something like that. I mean, it's just been a rough road, and I feel like Matt Hardy took the brunt of that in the sense that, you know, he's cleaned his act up. He had his run with Bray Wyatt before Bray Wyatt got, you know, basically repackaged. You have the situation where you have the videos of, you know, free Matt Hardy and free the delete and all that type of stuff. And I feel like it's very, you know, we don't know exactly what all that means. You know, I don't want to see him go to AEW. I don't want to see him part of the Dark Order as like their supreme leader or whatever you call it. Again, I don't watch AEW, so I don't really know what that is all about. Only thing I can hope is this is kind of Matt Hardy being taken off of TV just to, I don't want to say repackage, because you already know what Matt Hardy brings to the table. You know, if you hear any background noise in the background, there's a pipe that is turned on right now outside. I really do apologize about that. I hope that it does end here in the next few minutes, and I think it will. This typically happens. We have a pool. And, you know, when the in where I do the show is like right above the area where that goes on. So, you know, it does turn on for a little bit. I guess a filter pump would be the best way to say that. So, again, I do apologize. But with Matt Hardy, I do hope he comes back as a broken gimmick. I hope maybe he stays off TV for a little bit, maybe has some surprise showing around WrestleMania. I know his contract is up. March 1st, actually, here in about 2.5 weeks. So there's that. So, I mean, best for Matt Hardy. Hope everything goes well. Next, Shayna Baszler. She made an appearance, and I know all the talk was that she's going to face Becky Lynch for the belt at WrestleMania. And I think that was fantastic. I mean, they she had a great showing in the Women's Rumble, as did Bianca Belair and Charlotte Flair. Shayna Baszler had a spot where she came in and attacked Becky Lynch after beating Asuka. She bit her in the neck. If you could see me, I'm doing the quotes right now. Usually bit her in the neck, and there was blood everywhere. I mean, it was way too much blood. I mean, to me, obviously they used a blood package. She didn't really bite Becky Lynch's neck. I don't think that... Okay, let's say she did bite her neck. There would not have been that much blood. She would have to bite her in, like, the jugular for there to be that much blood. You know, great scene, great for TV. A little bit too much, I think, just a little bit too much. You know, but it was fantastic, and you know, it came off really well. To me, it's going to set up that feud very, very well, and I think what it's going to do is actually cause that to be a big feud on the show. And next thing I saw was going to be on the WWE backstage. It was, I believe they mentioned John Cena will be back on the 28th of February on that episode, and you're going to have John Cena back, and then apparently the news and the report is that John Cena is going to have full creative control of his match at WrestleMania. And I would assume that would mean leading up to his match as well. So, kind of cool for John Cena, which you assume, you know, it is in his hometown. Will it be his last WrestleMania? Probably not. Will it be, you know, potentially the end of, you know, kind of like a Triple H type thing where he's going to show up randomly here or there? Quite possible. Who knows? But with him getting creative control, I think that's fantastic, and I think it's going to let him... You know, his last WrestleMania match was what? Against The Undertaker, where he got squashed, which I'm cool with as an Undertaker fan, but, you know, as a John Cena fan and as a guy who is such a huge part of WWE in the last 15 to 17 years, it was not a good showing, and you know, they're looking to fix that problem. They'll give him whatever you want. Also, in terms of SmackDown, you had Goldberg. We talked about it last week, how he's coming back for a match at Super Showdown. And then, you know, this past Friday, it came out that he's going to face The Fiend. What direction does that go? Does he beat The Fiend? I can't imagine, like, you know, setting up Goldberg for, what, month and a half of being a champ, to me, doesn't make any sense. What I do think is going to happen in that is I think that there's going to be some type of... You know, I mentioned, I was commenting with somebody on Twitter, and we were talking about how, you know, does this set up maybe a match with The Fiend and Roman Reigns if Roman Reigns wins that Elimination Chamber match? I could see that. I could see Roman Reigns being the one that beats him. Do I like that? No. I think it's awful. But what I could see is maybe there being some type of interference, something happening, and maybe a triple threat. And, you know, triple threats aren't fantastic. I'm going to mention another one that I think may happen later. But, you know, Goldberg, Reigns, and The Fiend at WrestleMania, is that something I think could happen? It's possible. I think with Goldberg coming back for Super Showdown, maybe he has some type of WrestleMania appearance. At least, I think that is quite possible. Last week we talked about, and I'm pretty sure I'm the one who brought this to the table last week, was Sting versus The Undertaker. And, you know, I said how I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss WrestleMania this year, which really, really sucks for the first time in, like I said, what, probably 20 years, and I'm going to miss it. But, you know, you take a look at it, and it's like, man, this is 15 years too late. 16 years too late, maybe? Something like that. Way too late. But do I still want to see it? Absolutely. I'm still 100% in to see this. Both guys are veterans in the ring. Obviously, Sting injured the last time he was in. Apparently cleared to wrestle. But I'm 100% in. I want to watch this match. I want to see it. I want to... you know, I'm going camping that weekend, so, you know, I'm going to try to bring something. Supposedly there's going to be Wi-Fi. As much as I want to be camping and away from things and away from the real world and do stuff like that, I'm bringing a computer because I want to watch WrestleMania. I want it on, and some of the people I'm going with, they're interested in WrestleMania too, so I'm excited about that. That's the match I want to see. I mean, I think it's going to be a great card this year. I think Drew McIntyre is going to end up taking out Brock Lesnar. Totally different conversation for a totally different time. But you know, I'm thinking Sting versus Undertaker. And then the last thing I want to mention is Simone Johnson. She's going to be the first generation superstar in WWE. And I'm pretty sure anywhere. I mean, I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure anywhere. It is The Rock's daughter. positive. I think that, you know, just from her bloodline alone, it's going to give her, you know, athletically an advantage. That's, you know, my opinion. Whether that's true or not, who knows? And Charlotte Flair, who knows? But I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. I don't want her to get the unfair advantage where she gets the rub, which I feel kind of Nia Jax has. I don't think Nia Jax is that good. And just the fact that she is cousins with The Rock, if I'm not mistaken, I think she gets an unfair advantage sometimes because I do not believe she's very good. Simone Johnson built completely different than Nia Jax, so it's going to be a totally different story. But big news, though. Big news. Training at the Performance Center, I wish her well. And I hope she moves past the Rocky Maya V look that she currently has and ends up making something for her. Because, I mean, I really feel like she has the ability to... Well, anybody has the ability to be special if you have the athletic ability. And I hope that for her she does. And no one's going to live up to The Rock's name. I mean, you know, Rocky Johnson was great. Peter Maivia in his time was great. That family is great. And I hope that... I wish the best for her. I really do wish the best for her, and hope she does well. Hope she doesn't, I don't want to say fail. Fail's the wrong word. I hope she doesn't not live up to people's expectations just because whose daughter she is, because that is extremely lofty expectations, being that The Rock was one of the probably 5 to 10 best wrestlers in the last 15 years. We're going to move on to our birthday for today. There's only one. Only one birthday today. It was One Man Gang. For those of you who might have missed One Man Gang, he was also known as Akeem, who I think that was an absolute joke. I'm going to read a little something about that in a minute. One Man Gang turns 60. He was the U.S. champ one time in WCW. He was a champion in like UWF and things like that. To me, One Man Gang was the more like violent bruiser type. Big dude. And then in 1988, he was repackaged as Akeem, who was known as the African Dream. I'm going to read you a little snippet of what that was. In September 1988, One Man Gang's manager Slick announced that he was actually African and planned to re-embrace his roots. On an episode of WWF Superstars, Gene Okerlund was on location I'm reading straight from Wikipedia here, in an American ghetto that was dubbed the deepest, darkest parts of Africa, where dancers dressed as tribal Africans danced and chanted around fire. Slick then announced that Gang would be known by his new name, Akeem, the African Dream, though Okerlund immediately called him out as One Man Gang. This vignette received some criticism as the Caucasian Akeem delivered a promo in which he spoke in an extremely stereotypical jive, black accent, and danced in the style of Dusty Rhodes, while an African ritual took place in the background. Does it surprise you that Akeem did not work? I mean, that gimmick came and left about as quickly as any gimmick. I mean, not as quick as the Gobbledygooker. It did not work. One Man Gang, 60, retired, ended up coming back for a little bit. I believe he's retired now, living in South Carolina. Last week's episode, we're going to get into NXT now. Last week's episode, Jordan Devlin versus Tyler Breeze, absolutely fantastic. Angel Garza versus Isaiah Swerve Scott. Of course, Swerve Scott, you know, I'm hugely high on. Angel Garza has been bouncing between Raw and NXT. That was good. And then the main event, Undisputed Era, versus the Broserweights, you had and Ciampa, and you had the return of the Velveteen Dream, which has been months in waiting. Velveteen Dream returns, which was fantastic, you know. And last week he had his pants on that says "Call Me Maria," Marina, and that is Roderick Strong's wife. So all that comes into play tonight as well. You know, Roderick Strong pissed about that. You know, starting literally right at the beginning. You know, he gets mad and he basically says that, you know, he wants to Dream. But Bronson Reed shows up, ends up answering the call. I was pleasantly surprised by this match. You know, I'm going to give it a 3 out of 5 on it. I thought there was some... Bronson Reed had some good moments in the match. I know there was one where he... Roderick Strong is on the outside... and Velveteen Dream's music comes on. Not even music. I think it was like a couple notes of his intro. And he goes outside because, the lights turn down. It's kind of purple music. The smoke's playing up on the ramp. And, you know, the distraction of Roderick Strong at this point allows Reed to hit a nice dive onto the outside. Reed sends him in, and he goes up for the top rope. And see, for me, guys who are 300-plus pounds, there's a time to go up to the top rope. Not everybody's Vader or Bam Bam Bigelow. He went up to the top rope. Strong ends up with a jumping knee, ends it. It's about a 15-minute match or so. Like I said, 3 out of 5. To me, it was a good match. It played well off last week's Velveteen Dream showing up and going directly after Roderick Strong mainly. I mean, he took out all of Undisputed Era, but going after Roderick Strong, who took him out. To me, it didn't seem like it was super intense, but it was great for an opening match. Right after this, on the Jumbotron, you see a video of Velveteen Dream. He's wearing a jacket with his face on the back and his tights say, "Call me up, Marina," again talking about Roderick Strong's wife. Dream says how Strong tried to end his career, and what if somebody took something from Strong. He named his family. He showed a picture of his family. Dream said if something happened to Strong, someone somewhere would fulfill Marina's dreams. And he ends up showing off Roderick Strong's son, which I did not catch his name, and Marina's face is on his tights with him. In which Roderick Strong lost his mind, ran him back. I thought it was a good start. I think, Velveteen Dream has a way of using his tights. As crazy as this is, using his tights to get messages across or different things like that. And I think that this was one of those perfect scenarios where it's going to work out very well for Velveteen Dream. And I think, with Roderick Strong, who's an indie veteran, I think it's going to be absolutely fantastic. And it's going to come off great when they do start their feud. Next match we had is going to be Candice LeRae versus Dakota Kai. This is kind of, this goes all the way back to War Games, when Dakota Kai turned her back on Team Ripley and mainly her tag team partner Tegan Knox. Now, Dakota Kai's got a big match going into this weekend at TakeOver Portland, where she faces Tegan Knox. So the idea for me is, how does Dakota Kai look? And, when you go in here, is there going to be any type of interference? So this match, again, I'm going to give it a 3 out of 5. Like I said at the beginning of the show, this was a very average show. To me, nothing really there was one match that kind of stood out. But this was a nice back and forth between the two. If Dakota Kai gets the win, who, in my opinion, was the right winner. Because it goes into TakeOver and the post-match angle's where it was, so Candice LeRae, and I'm going to be 100% honest with you, this is one of those match. I will say that the worst finishing move in WWE, in wrestling in general, was used in this match. So towards the end, you had, action back and forth, and it was decent action. I love Candice LeRae as a wrestler. I think she's fantastic. So you had the Gargano Escape, I believe is what it's called. This submission move that Gargano uses, Candice LeRae uses that, and out of that, Dakota Kai, as she's, I don't think she was ever about to tap out, you can kind of tell she was moving it around a lot, ends up getting the surprise, quote-unquote surprise roll-up for the pin. 1, 2, 3, Dakota Kai gets the win. After that, of course, Candice LeRae is beside herself. So, being that she's frustrated, she went after Dakota outside after the match. Kai kind of brings her over to where the ring bell is, ends up hitting her face first with it, ends up hitting her in the stomach with it. Out of nowhere, Tegan Knox comes out and knocked her back. Dakota Kai looked a little scared. They start brawling. Security pulls them apart. Tegan Knox gets free again and attacks her before it's broken up. I don't know what the match is going to be on. I believe it's a no-holds-barred or a street fight. Street fight is what it is. I think it should be good. I earlier said I gave this a 3. This is a 2.5 out of 5. I graded it. It was alright. Again, nothing special. But it does set up kind of that same thing. Like, you know, we've been, this has been since November that all these girls have been kind of battling each other. So you know, it's a long-standing feud, and that's one thing I think NXT does well is, you know, where in WWE you'll forget about feuds after a week, where this, you know, we're talking 4 months in now. A great way to build feuds. The next match to me, I give it a 3.5 out of 5, was the best match of the night. You know, I expected the number one contendership match, which is still yet to come, to be the match that kind of blew me away. It was not. I thought both guys did okay, but there was something to be left there, and where Johnny Gargano and Cameron Grimes, to me, they put it all on the line. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Maybe it's just me, and I haven't been paying attention to Gargano previously, but he's looking shredded right now. Like, he looks in great shape. Spent a lot of time not in the ring, at least on TV, so, you know, I haven't seen him in a while. This was a great match. Again, 3.5 out of 5. And with Gargano, you know, going into a big match at TakeOver, again, we had the right man winning. He gets the win over Cameron Grimes. I think Cameron Grimes is great. I've said it before. Cameron Grimes, you got Bronson Reed, even to a small measure. You got Isaiah Swerve Scott. I mean, they got a lot of guys in this mid-card. You know, and you can even add a guy like Keith Lee. I mean, Keith Lee is no pun here, mountains bigger than they are in terms of stardom. But you got a lot of guys in this mid-card who I think are fantastic, and Grimes fits that bill. This is a great match to watch. Some of the counters in this, trading super kicks. Johnny Gargano hit a huge tornado DDT. It was, you know, Gargano wins almost an immediate tap out when he puts in the Gargano escape. But fantastic match, 3.5 out of 5. It really sets up Gargano Balor very, very well. Next match was going to be our cruiserweight number one contendership match, Angel Garza versus Lio Rush. So if you were paying attention back in, like, I want to say October, November, you saw these guys really go at it, and they had some great matches. This match, super action-packed. Everyone hit their big moves. You know, Garza ended up kicking out of the final hour. He got hit with a super kick and gets Lio up for a wing clipper, but then Lio Rush counter with an inside cradle. Classic. Not the same surprise roll-up, but still a roll-up in the same sense. Lio Rush gets the win. So 3 out of 5 match, you know, nothing super spectacular, but above average. These guys put on a couple great shows in previous matches. This was not their best show together, for sure. Jordan Devlin came out after and said that he's looking forward to showing Lio Rush what he can do and things like that. Lio Rush versus Jordan Devlin will be a match for the Cruiserweight belt next week. Very exciting on that. I'm looking forward to what Lio Rush and Jordan Devlin can do. I wish I could say that this match was better than it was. It was not one of their best matches, though. And so it's not something that, you know, was it worth a watch? Yeah. But, I mean, really on this show, there's only one match that's like, all right, I have to see this match. And that was the last one, Gargano and Cameron Grimes. Next matchup was Bianca Belair versus Santana Garrett. I'll probably be talking about the match longer than it lasted. It was probably about 45 seconds at the most. You know, Belair charged in with a spear, hit the double chicken wing slam into a corner, added a KOD, ended quickly. Santana Garrett stated zero chance. After the match, match rating on this one, 0. There wasn't enough time to give it a rating. Bianca Belair cut a promo on Rhea Ripley, basically saying, how are you going to go to Raw and pretend I don't exist, even though they teamed up together when she was there? She tells Rhea to keep playing with her because she's going to walk out the champ. Of course, Rhea Ripley shows up, as she always does, says she's not overlooking her. She's looking right at her and will go through her. Rhea fought her off for a little bit, but ends up getting planted with the KOD. Bianca Belair standing strong. I do not think that she's going to be standing strong after TakeOver. But there was something that I'm going to talk about a little later, and I think what could happen potentially a TakeOver. Last match of the night in our main event was a non-title match. Let me put that out there. Non-title match, Adam Cole versus Kushida. It was a good main event, and of course, it's another setup for getting some people going into TakeOver. And of course, the right winner was here. Adam Cole gets the win. But the match, I feel like the match wasn't as... I've used the word intense already tonight, but it wasn't as intense as it could have been. All the big moves were hit. You know, Cole almost got rolled up, which would have been the third roll-up win of the night. You know, he ends up hitting the last shot and getting the win. Like I said, a good match. I like Kushida. It was a 3 out of 5. It wasn't anything spectacular. 2.5 to 3 out of 5. You know, nothing huge. Some of the biggest things of the night, you know, when it came to matches, there were some solid matches, but nothing special. Like I said, other than Gargano, that is a match to see. Belair's post-match, I thought, was good, setting up the match at TakeOver with Rhea Ripley. Even Tommaso Ciampa, there was a nice promo where he was backstage. He was sitting in the conference room or meeting room, where he gave away the title a year ago, and how he was saying that, you know, he was concerned that he might have given up his biggest opportunity, but in 4 days he's going to get the shot at the title that he never lost. It's just very, he always goes back to, I never lost, never lost, never lost. And that's one thing Adam Cole said tonight, is that, you know, I'm tired of hearing that he didn't lose the belt. You know, Ciampa then says, what if Cole wins and goes on to be the longest reigning champion in NXT? And he says, what if there's a guy who wants it more and has been through so much more? How he can go into Mania weekend as a champion? And that's the way it was supposed to be last year. He said, a man is most dangerous when he has nothing to lose, and Cole will find out how true that is. I really like the Tommaso Ciampa attitude that he's going into it. I personally think Ciampa's going to win, but with something on the line like becoming the longest reigning champion, it is possible that he loses shadily and sets up for a huge WrestleMania moment where he gets to get his win at WrestleMania. To me, that is also possible. It is quite possible. Other thing tonight that I didn't discuss was the Broserweights. So they ended up sneaking in Triple H's plane, going through Portland, getting their car towed, riding pigeons in a lake. You know, it was some pretty good spots that they had. You know, I'm going to talk about them in 1 second, but some pretty good spots. Broserweights are fun. I don't know how long they're going to last as a team, and that's something I'm going to talk about in a second, but they are fun while they last. All right, so let's discuss where we're going to go from here. So where we go from here next week, I already mentioned it, Cruiserweight Championship match, Jordan Devlin, Leo Rush. I think it's going to be a huge match. Probably going to go on first. I could see it being the main event, but probably going to go on first, because a lot of times the Cruiserweight Championship matches have been going on the top of the show. Also, was it Robert Stone brand or whatever it is? Chelsea Green is going to get a rematch against Caden Carter, who she lost to, who she should not have lost to. And then also you have Velveteen Dream versus Roderick Strong. It's going to be fantastic. Velveteen Dream's return match. Really looking forward to that. Personally, that would be my main event, a big return like that. Three matches listed. You know, and a lot of these shows only have a max of 5. And so I think 3 matches listed, it's going to be a pretty strong week next week. But we got to get through TakeOver Portland first. So let's go with TakeOver Portland. Obviously, I'm going to be on next week with you guys, or later this weekend, I should say, discussing TakeOver Portland. But, you know, again, these matches are in no particular order. I'm going to give you the matches, then I'm going to give you the predictions of who I think is going to win. So first match, Rhea Ripley versus Bianca Belair. Just regular singles match, no other type stipulation. Finn Balor versus Johnny Gargano, again, singles match. Got Undisputed Era versus the Broserweights for the Tag Team Championship match. Adam Cole versus Ciampa for the NXT Championship. Wait, did I say NXT Women's Championship? Isn't it just the NXT Championship? I don't understand. I thought they dropped the women's name. I don't know. Next is Dakota Kai versus Tegan Nox, and that's going to be in a street fight. And then finally you have Keith Lee versus Dominik Dijakovic for the North American Championship. And that's one thing I love about the takeovers, is usually almost every, especially big takeover, every championship is defended. And in this one, you have all four championships defended in two regular singles matches. It's going to be an absolutely jam-packed night of action. And is this a three-hour show? Because typically they only do two-hour shows. So if you look at it, you know, with these six matches, you know, and you put it in a two-hour show, that's, what, 20 minutes for each match? And that's without any entrances, without any, you know, just announcing, without any backstage promos, any of that stuff. So I'm looking at this could be potentially a three-hour show. So let's go with our predictions. I'm going to start at the top like I did Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair. I think Ripley wins. I think Charlotte Flair is going to, in my opinion, 100% interfere in this. Does that set up a triple threat? Did Bianca Belair do so well at the Royal Rumble, and did she showcase so much that she gets potential shot at WrestleMania for this belt? If that is the case, I think it would be a triple threat. Again, I'm not a huge triple threat fan, but I think this is quite possible. You got Finn Balor versus Johnny Gargano. I think Finn Balor wins. I think it's going to be super close. I think Finn Balor has more to lose by losing, so I think Gargano's going to get the win. When it comes to Undisputed Era, I think they're going to win. I don't think Undisputed Era is going to go from having all the belts to no belts in a matter of 3 weeks. I think Dissension and the Broserweights, I really do. I think this is the beginning of them breaking up and leading to a feud where maybe there's a match at TakeOver Tampa. Ciampa versus Cole. Right now, I'm on the Tommaso Ciampa wins. But thinking about it more and more, Adam Cole becoming the longest reigning champion and Tommaso Ciampa getting his big moment winning the belt back at WrestleMania, I think means a lot more to the story. Will that happen? Who knows? Dakota Kai versus Tegan Nox. I think this is a match Dakota Kai has to win. I just think that, you know, if she's going to play the big heel and be the next big thing in the women's division, I think she has to win. I think Tegan Nox losing this doesn't hurt her. In the last match you had between the two, Tegan Nox got the win. It was very short. This match, I think Dakota Kai gets the win. And lastly, Keith Lee versus Dijakovic. I know they've had some great matches previously. This is a match that Keith Lee just won the belt. This will be his first big defense. I see Dijakovic with a 0% chance winning this. Keith Lee gets the win. So that's going to be all for me today. Again, you can feel free to reach out to me on Twitter at @TheCOPlaceToGo with any questions, comments, good, bad, I don't care. Please talk to me, ask questions. I'll chat with you on Twitter. Doesn't matter. I'll chat with you anywhere. I will be back again on Sunday night for a TakeOver Portland review of the show. Very much looking forward to it. And I hope to hear and talk to you guys soon.